If you will this morning, turn back to John 14. We will find our text in the 15th verse. And it reads this way. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let us pray. O Lord, how great thou art and how faithful thou art. I thank you, Lord, for bringing us here today, for putting in our hearts to love you, to desire you, to desire thy word. For Lord, we know that's from thee, and it's born from above. Lord, as we come before thy word, we come this morning trembling, asking for you to feed us through thy word, asking you, Lord, to show us thy love, to show us, Lord, the deep meaning that resides in thy words for thy sheep. Oh Lord, may you be pleased now to bring us close to thy side. Set us at thy feet. Instruct us, Lord, let those crumbs fall from thy hand, that you may feed our soul this morning, that we may know, Lord, thy presence. We may know, Lord, that thou art in us. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When we come to these four chapters, these blessed chapters, 14, 15, 16, and 17, I like to always set the picture of what we have before us. So the Lord had just washed the feet of the disciples and he dismissed Judas. They had the Last Supper there and he dismissed Judas. And Judas went away to betray him. And then he brought his inner circle to him and he sat them at his feet. All 11 of them. And the Lord then began to show them the way in 14, 15, 16, and 17. All of this sermon that he preached to them was the last words that he would say to them. And they were perpetual words. They were the words that he told them in this passage that the Holy Spirit would bring to them over and over again. And they were comforting words because he had to equip them because he was going away. And he wanted to show them that he would always be with them, even though he wasn't in a bodily, physical sense. And that's important for you and I today because by the same faith we see him. And so when we come to our text this morning, when we look at those words in 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. They are said out of love. They are said to his inner circle. They are said to his people. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now you and I, if you be like me, when you hear a text like that, your fallen mind goes straight to Sinai. It goes straight to the law. It goes straight to the Ten Commandments. When we hear that word, commandments. And we think that Jesus is telling us to fulfill the law. And when we hear that, then we set out to do that. And we can't. We can't. The fact of the scriptures is, he's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believeth. He fulfilled the law for us. Does that mean that we don't obey? No. That's not what that means. But we do obey because of him. He doesn't leave the sheep, the wandering sheep, to find their way to the shepherd. He loves them too much. He is their life. He laid down his life for those sheep. He would not leave them and say, find your own way through your own obedience. So when we look at the text this morning, that's the first thing I would say to you. If you love me, Jesus says, and I pray he preaches this to all of us. If you love me, keep my commandments. And you say, well, if it doesn't mean the law at Sinai, what does it mean? Oh, we're not left without witness. The same passage that I read to you has the answer. The answer is in 23 and 24. It's the same word used when Jesus says in 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. It's the words of Christ. And then in 24, it says, "He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings." It's the Word of God. And you say, "Well, I've looked into this Bible and I struggle times walking in the way." We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. We're going to let the Apostle Paul explain that in the power of the Holy Ghost. But you and I today cannot run from this injunction. But it's not really an injunction. It's an explanation. It's what the Lord does for His people. It's not a stipulation of salvation. It's the evidence of it. And as I said to you, these are comforting words. He's leaving them with comfort. How do we know that we're a child of God? How do we know? Last week when I stood up here, I said to you, when we read Psalm 22 before we went to 23, I said to you, you must know the Savior before you could ever know Him as your shepherd. And the Lord struck me when I said those words, and I looked out at your faces, and I looked at mine in the mirror, and I said, wait a minute. There are times I don't know. There are some here that may be struggling with assurance. Does the Word of God, did He leave us the Word to comfort us, to show us that we are assured that we're in Him? Absolutely. And this today is one of those passages. I hope and pray this morning that you're here out of love for the Savior. Not because you're related to me, or not because you want to hear me, or not because you just want to get out of the house. But there's a reason you desire the Word of the Savior. I didn't give that to you. He did. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. That is our qualifying words before we go anywhere else. The love that we show the Savior is the love that He has shown us. It's the same love because it's His love. So as we're sitting there and we're trembling, and as we're sitting there and I'm up here with you, I understand. I like to quote these words. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. We love that song. He wrote a poem called Lovest Thou Me. And the first lines to that poem go this way. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? I have known that poem. The Lord has brought that in my life for 20 or 30 years. And I still reflect on it many times. And why? Because the Lord uses that to bring me to the Word where He speaks to me. Do I love the Lord? Is the Lord's presence in me? Does it separate me? Not in a self-righteous way. Not that I look at the world and say, oh, well, I'm different from y'all. I'm better than y'all. Only by grace. And my depravity is just as bad as anyone's out there in the world. The worst murderer. My depravity, my evil nature is the same evil nature they have. What maketh thee to differ? That amazing grace that Newton wrote about. That grace that Noah found in the eyes of the Lord. That grace that every child of God experiences. Yes, we struggle with doubt. I'm going to tell you why later. But this morning, first and foremost, we're going to look at this text. If you love me, keep my commandments. If is a qualifying word. It means if you do love the Lord, you will obey. You will keep His word. Keep means to treasure, to hold it close to yourself, to desire not to let it go. Is that your desire? I'm not asking you if you keep the law. I'm asking you, is there a desire put in your heart, in your mind, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? To love the Lord Jesus Christ? To embrace the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if there is that desire, He put it there. He's speaking to you this morning. Your obedience is born out of that love. And as the shepherd puts his sheep, they come before and behind him as he leads them in the way. It's the same way that love is worked out of the child of God. And they walk in his way. And we're going to see that this morning, Lord willing. So as we look at this word, we can't shy away from it because it says, keep my commandments. I know our upbringing, our background of the law always causes that terror when we say, oh, I can't keep the commandments. I know that the word of God said nobody can keep them. The rich young ruler who lied when he came to the Lord and said, oh, I've kept all of these from the youth up. We know he didn't. We know it's impossible because Jesus explained to us in the Sermon on the Mount, it's not just the outward action, it's the inward action. So as we're having these thoughts in our fallen mind, we've committed them, whether we've done the outward act at all. Remember that. That's because we're all guilty. We're all sinners in need of grace. If you love me, keep my commandments. So, we're going to go to 1 John today. We're going to go three spaces in 1 John. I want you to see, because John had a great insight. The Holy Spirit really revealed to him what we're talking about this morning. And I think these three passages will help explain what he's saying. So if you go first to 1 John 2. He begins the chapter with these words. My little children. You hear the love, you hear the desire for John, to those that he's writing to, the elect that he's writing to. He wants them to understand. He wants them to love and he wants them to see as he has been revealed. So he says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And that, if we stopped right there, we'd be full of terror, wouldn't we? That's what the law does. No, you haven't sinned. I mean, you haven't kept the law. You haven't obeyed perfectly. You haven't obeyed in this way. Well, John says, I'm writing these things that you sin not. And immediately he says, and then when you sin, if any man sin, because he knows we will, our desire is not to sin, but we will sin. That's what John means. I write these things that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have one that is a mediator. We have one that is between us and the Father. We have one that has taken the penalty of our sins. We have one that has put our sins away. We have one that has cleansed us with his blood. We have one that has presented us a chaste virgin without any spot before the Father. Believest thou this? This is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for his children. We have an advocate. That's the good news of the gospel. We have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation. That's a legal term, meaning he satisfied the justice of God. He stood in our place and had the wrath of God poured out upon him for our sins. That punishment for our sins, Jesus stood in our place and he took it. He took that punishment. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only that John's writing to. He says, but the sins of the whole world. That's the elect world. We know that Jesus didn't die for the reprobate. All that Jesus died for are kept and preserved and have eternal life. The ones in hell, not so much. They have eternal damnation. So we know that means the world of the elect. And he says here, this is where we're getting to the crux of the matter. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. This is how we know we have union. If the Lord is lived out in us. Now, once again, I am not talking about sinless perfection. I am not talking about heaven here where we will have sinless perfection. We will be known as what there will be no sin present. But here on earth, what is it that he's talking about? He says, hereby we know that if we keep his commandments. And he explains to him, he doesn't leave us with just that word. He says, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. So there is a difference. There is an obedience in the child of God's life. It's an obedience of the mind. It's obedience of the heart. And the walk that we have is in the footsteps of Christ. He puts us there. He brings us there. He takes that crook as we're wandering and He brings us back into the way of holiness, which is in Christ Jesus. Now that may not be in our time. Our time may be, there might be times of sorrow and times that we're backsliding and times that our eyes are not upon Him, but there's something still in us, isn't there? Yes, because we're all evidence to that, because we're still here this morning and we all have hope. And our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because His seed Himself is in us. And so we said, if we keep His commandments, he that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But look at this. But whoso keepeth His word, same word for commandments up there. Whoso keepeth His word, the things that Jesus has said in the word of God. Do you love the brethren? Do you love the Lord more than anyone? Do you lovest thou me more than these? I say that remarkable point in that passage to me, and I think about it every time I think about it, was the assurance that the Lord had given Peter, even in Peter's weak state, even after he denied Christ, he said, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. That's the Lord's presence, to be able to say that. That's that amazing grace. I know you love me, Lord. Search me. Lead me. I know that I'm a sinner, but He has to convince us of that first, that we're a sinner. We're never going to need salvation. We're never going to care about salvation. We're never going to see Christ as a Savior and therefore a shepherd and therefore our King without being revealed the sinner that we are. And so He says, whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. That's how we know the love of God is in us. It's shed abroad in our hearts. That's Christ in us. That's His love. It's His love first. And hereby we know that we are in Him. You're going to see those words over and over in our passage today. In Him. The Father and I, and that is our union. This is what we have in the union of the Lord Jesus Christ and ourselves and the Father and the Holy Ghost. We have an assurance. We have an assurance down here, as hard as this life is. He speaks to us and says, you're my child. I will get you through this. I will carry you through this. I'm the faithful one here. He reveals to us that we're not so faithful. But He's covered those sins. He's put them away. It boggles my mind the depth of His love, that nothing can separate us. Our sin cannot separate us eternally from Christ. It separates our mind when we're going through it, when we're latching on to the world, when we're listening to Satan. It separates our mind at that time, but it doesn't separate the child of God from His shepherd. And the Lord reveals that later. You wandered from me. That's why you're going through what you're going through. You wandered from my pasture, my green pasture. Well, Lord, I can't sit in this pasture. That's all right. I make you to lie down in that green pasture. It's me. I do it. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Once again, does that mean sinless perfection? Does that mean we walk? Oh, well, we're going to walk the way that Christ did. Think of Peter. Think of Paul. Think of all this whole Word of God. Even go to Hebrews 11 and look at all the roll call of faith. And you know what you're going to find there? Sinners. All of them with blemishes. From unbelief to all kinds of sins that are cataloged in here. So what does it mean to walk in Him? It means He's given you a heart to love Him. A desire. You're going to see that later. Just bear with me. A desire. A will. A will to love Him. Alright, so that's chapter 2. Turn with me right over just a page to chapter 3. Got a couple of verses here at the end of chapter 3. And this is the commandment, 23. Sorry, I didn't tell you. 23 and 24. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now we're getting a little bit more particular. Do you believe? Simple question. Do you believe that Christ is the salvation of His children? Do you believe He's the only way, the truth, and the life? Do you believe it? Because that faith is a gift of God. And He doesn't give that faith to the world. Do you believe that this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, the brethren, love one another, as He gave us commandment? And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him. That's union. And he in Him, that's union, that shows our union with Christ. That's when we see these passages in Him. We know those passages are for us. Because we are in Him. We have strength in Him. We have clarity of mind in Him. We have peace in Him. We have love in Him. That's where our union is. When we're outside of it, when that mind goes to another union with the world, it takes the world into union. It takes people into union. It takes sin into union. Guess what's broken in our minds? It hadn't broken His love, but it's broken our allegiance, hasn't it? And we start to walk after those. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to lead the Lord I love. Seal me, Lord. Bring me back. And hereby we know that He abideth in us. This is the only way, dear ones. By the Spirit which He hath given us. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin. It's the Holy Spirit that says you have a Savior. You have a Savior that's put this sin away. And you come back to the Lord and you say, you don't understand how wicked I am. You don't understand how much I haven't trusted you. Of course He does. He knows all things. But He's got to knock us off that high horse. He's got to bring us to His feet to where we're dependent upon Him. And how does He do that? By the Spirit which He has given us. Now turn over to verse John 5. Now look at 1 John 5. And just the first three verses. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the anointed one that came from above, that the Lord sent to save, that God sent to save His people? Do you believe it? If you do, in your heart. If you believe it, guess what? You're born of God. You have that new birth. And everyone that loveth Him, that begot, that was born of Him, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. That's how you love the brethren. It's the same love. That's how you love the one sitting next to you. If we all be in Christ, that's how we love one another. Because He loved us first. Because it's His love. Because He born us anew to love someone better than we love ourselves. That's His love. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His word, His commandments. That's what He tells us, to love God, love your neighbor as yourself, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all. He's first. And love your neighbor. Love the brethren. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments, here it is, His words are not grievous. Do you feel that? Do you feel like the Lord's word, when you read the word, is it grievous to you? I'm not talking about what the law does. I'm not talking about the grievous guilt that we feel upon ourselves. When you hear what Jesus said He's done for you, is that grievous to you? Does that burden you? Does it burden you that the Lord says you will love me above all other things in this world and you will love your neighbor? Does that burden you what the Lord says His children are? Now, I know what our fallen nature will say. Yeah, I'm burdened when you say I'm going to have tribulation. I'm burdened when you say I'm going to have trials. And I'm burdened with, that's our fallen nature. The new man in us says we need those trials. We need those things that break our little legs that keep running away from the Lord and bring us close to Him. That's what He's designed His chastening for. It yields the peaceable fruits of His righteousness. We need to see that. His righteousness, not ours. So now let's go back to our text in John 14. They're not grievous to us. We keep that's what our text told us, right? If you love me, keep my commandments. There's something in our heart that makes His word not grievous. It's Himself. It's the Holy Spirit witnessing to us that we have that desire. We want to do that. All right, so let's go on in our text. Well, I want to share with you the last thing. You know what the last thing that Paul said when he wrote the letter to the scattered children in Ephesus? You know what the last sentence of Ephesians is? Let me read it to you. Ephesians 6:24 says this: "Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." That's what we're talking about this morning. Sincerity. You know what that is? In truth. In a desire. And that's what the Lord puts in our heart. Grace be to them, Paul said, that loves Christ. Not just loves Him as the world says, oh, we love Jesus. No, in sincerity. That means your heart, that what the Lord has done in your heart is that He has set up His kingdom there and said, I am ruling. I am the Lord of your life. And that ain't grievous to you. You love that. You love what the Lord has shown you. When you're walking in the way of the Lord, there's no happier time on earth. But when you're not, it is a time of grief and sadness. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16 says this, and I will pray the Father. That's our mediator. There's one mediator between us and the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he wrote in Timothy. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you, don't miss this, another comforter. Boy, I tell you, you know how many people I've seen get choked up and at the Word of God? Oh, well, I don't understand. It says Christ is in you, but it's the Holy Spirit that's supposed to be leading. I don't get it. Is it the Holy Spirit that does it? No, you don't understand. He said, I'll give you another comforter. What does that mean? Well, that means Christ is in me, but He's going to give me another one. Because he's telling them, I'm going away. So I'm going to give you another one. I will always be in your heart, but there'll be one, another one, meaning God, that will show you all the things. That's what He's going to tell us later. All the things that I've said and done. I'll bring them to your remembrance. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And He indwells the child of God. And He's revealing to us Christ. He's not revealing to us lottery numbers or do we need to buy a car or should we buy a house or all the carnal things in this world. He's pointing to Christ. That's what He does. Do you love Him? Well, I'll tell you, if I do love Him, the Holy Spirit needs to tell me that. And He does. He says you love Him because He loved you first. Now let me show you how you love Him. That's what this is about this morning. We struggle with commandments. We struggle with legal obedience. We should struggle with that because the law is always present there. But not in what Christ is saying. My words? This is what love does. Love gives you an appreciation for His word. Gives you a holy awe of His word. Gives you a desire to follow His word more than anyone else's word. I want to do, Lord. I want to walk in your way. I'll pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. As long as you're here on the face of the earth, the Lord will abide with you, Him in you, and the Holy Spirit revealing what He has done, what He will do, what He shall do for you. That's what He tells us. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You see, all through this passage, you have a differentiation of if you love me, keep my commandments. What is the qualifying word, if you love me? Well, there's a whole bunch of people in this world that profess to know and love Christ, but they don't. And I'm not sitting here and judging. I'm not telling you to go out and look who those people are because you're not going to be able to tell. The wheat grow with the tares. The Lord must remove those. I'm talking about you and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's important. And me and my relationship with Christ. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Is there a difference? Is there something? And I'm not asking you to compare yourself to people, although we do it. Compare yourself to what you were. Compare yourself to what you are now. What is there something in me that is hope? Is there something in me that keeps me going every day? Yeah. Is it it's a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his work. That's how faithful this shepherd is. That's what he says in 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you to discern it yourself. I won't leave you on this path to walk in my footsteps. I won't leave you to do that. I won't leave you to love on your own. I won't leave you to have peace in and of yourself. I won't leave you to obey. I will not leave you, and the word translated there is orphans. I will not leave you as a fatherless child, because I am your father. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And you know what? When you read that right now, it's just as fresh as it was yesterday. Even if the Lord came to you in the night. Even if he comes to you right now in this hour. And you read this again in five hours. Guess what? I will come to you. That's what our shepherd does. He did not come one time in our life and reveal to us by the Holy Spirit that he died for us and that he leaves us to figure it out. He's a nourishing shepherd who always goes before the sheep. He's always feeding the sheep. He's always herding the sheep to him, bringing them to him. And he does it with love. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Now he's speaking to them. A little while, he's going off the scene. He's going to die, rise again, ascend up into heaven. But you see me. The words there mean you will see me. You do see me. You will see me even after I'm gone. The same way you and I do. By the same faith. You see me because I live. Ye shall live also. Don't you love that? It doesn't say, because I live, I sure hope you guys live too. You know, because I live, I've made it possible. If you guys just choose me and you choose the right way, you can live too. No, not this surety. Not this Lord that went before his sheep. Not this Lord who is the life of his sheep. He says, because I live, you shall live also. That's what we're describing this morning. If you love me, keep my words, keep my sayings, keep my commandments. How do we know? That's how we know. That's the greatness of his grace to leave us witness. Do I love him? Do I love him? It causes me much anxious thought, just like that poem said. It does. Many times when we're reflecting on ourselves, have I showed him love? No, it's the evidence of his love. I have peace. He's given me peace. He's given me love. He's given me faith to believe. I can't come up with this on my own. Not if these scriptures are true. When the Lord looked down from heaven and he saw that there was none good, no, not one. What am I going to do? Say to the word of God, no, you miss me. I've been good all along. And that's what religion will teach us. He did something for us, but we deserved it. No. Grace doesn't teach the child of God that. Grace teaches him to be dependent upon his shepherd and know that everything is in his shepherd. At that day, verse 20, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. At that time, when the Holy Spirit reveals me, you'll know our union. You will know that the triune God is your God. Notice he said them all. He just talked about the Holy Spirit revealing things to us. I'm going to send you another comforter. And then he said, the union of, I'm in the Father, and you're in me. At that day, you shall know, once again, an absolute, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That's how we know Christ manifests himself to us. Now, I've told you to wait, and now we've gotten to the time. We struggle. Why do we struggle? Hold your finger there and turn. And you probably already knew where we were going. We're going to Romans 7. I can't say this any better than the Apostle Paul said it. Look at, we're going to start in 15. Bear with me now as the Lord reveals to us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Is this true in your life? Verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. This is Paul's witness. What I want to do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. So he says, what I know to do, what I want to do, what I desire to do, I'm finding that I can't do it. But what I hate, that do I. Do you know that about yourself? You know, we get all these situations in life and we go through them in our minds of how we're going to act, how we want to act, how we know this will please God if I'm this way, and then we don't perform it. Why is that? Because we've got a fallen nature in us that always hates the Lord Jesus Christ, that hates the way of Christ. And Paul says that what I hate, that's what I do. I am not going to get angry this time. I'm not going to ask these questions. I'm not going to accuse this person. I'm not going to be ugly to this person. I'm going to believe today. I'm going to trust the Lord today. I'm not going to let whatever I hear, if this is bad news, I'm not going to let it get me down. I'm not going to let it shake me. 10 minutes later, we're shaking like a leaf. Why is that? Because we have a warring nature. There's a war going on in us. That's what Paul's talking about. What I want to do, I allow not. For what I would, that I don't do. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that, which I would not, I consent to the law, it is good. That's what we're telling the Lord. When we can't keep the way, we're showing Him that the law is holy. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I wouldn't have known not to covet if the law didn't say, thou shalt not covet. We don't ever want to look at God's law and say, oh, well, you know, Jesus fulfilled that. It's nothing to us. No. It's to show us His holiness. That's what He's revealing to us. And every time we can't keep God's Word, we're showing the Lord that He is holy. That's what that means. We're showing Him He's good and just because He's holy. He doesn't waver. He's the justice. He's the top of holiness and justice. You and I, not so much. And that's what the law shows us. It says, you didn't keep. You did covet. You did lie. You did these things in your mind. Paul says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And that's not a cop-out. He's not sitting there going, oh, like Adam did in the garden and said, oh, it's the woman you gave me. He's not pushing blame off. He's explaining what's going on in the child of God's life. Understand this, dear ones. It's not you. It's sin. It's the old nature that's in you. Does that mean that we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid us thinking that. God forbid us falling backwards and going, oh, well, then I can live any way I want. He doesn't allow us to live that way because of the love that He has shed abroad in our hearts. That's that love that I said. We desire to walk in His way. We desire to show forth His truth. We desire that the world sees Christ in us, the hope of glory. So now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know, and if you're not taught this, this is all foreign to you. If you haven't learned this, that in yourself, in me, Paul said, that's in my flesh, dwells no good thing. There's nothing in my fallen nature that will ever do anything for God or anything good. This is the whole key. For to will is present with me. Where is that will? If you love me, keep my commandments. Same tenor of speech. Same what Jesus said. If you love me, keep. Is the will there? Do you have a will? You know why you have a will? Because of the new birth. That's what He gave us. A new heart. That heart loves Him. That heart desires Him. Paul says, that's what I find. I found there's nothing in myself that's good. But to will is present with me. Where did that come from? That's the seed in me. That's Christ in me, the hope of glory. But how to perform that which is good, I can't find it. I don't know how. I don't know how to overcome this. I see what I'm supposed to do, but I can't do it. We can't look up to God and say, Lord, I see, but I can't perform it as an excuse. It's a reason. It's why we come to the Lord brings us to the throne of grace. We cry out to Him, Lord, I can't do it. It's not an excuse going, I'm going to go keep sinning because, Lord, I can't do it. And if you don't do it, I'm going to live in sin. No. But that's what our old nature is capable of. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not do, that's what I do. Do you find that present in you? I find it present in me. Often. That's why Newton wrote that poem. Often it causes me anxious thought because I look at my sin and I said, Lord, I'm unworthy. I didn't believe this week. Many times. I got angry this week. I started speaking like the world. I started going after the world. Lord, I know that's wrong. I know your holiness. I know what you've shown me is the way in Christ. Do you find that struggle? Verse 20 says, now if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Paul's explaining. I find in a law or a principle that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's the warfare. That's what Paul said. I find this warfare. It's what the Song of Solomon said. There's a company of two armies in the church. They're warring against each other. Now look at 22. Or did I read 20? I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I find that. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. There's something in me that delights the law of God, that loves the Lord, that loves His word, that loves His commandments. There's something in me that does. Paul said, I find that. I can't answer that for you. But that's what differentiates you from the world. If you have that, if you have that struggle, if you understand that there's something in you that loves the Lord more than anything else, that's Christ in you. He says, I find that. I find in my inward man there's something. But I see another law, another principle in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. I fall short. I can't perform it, Lord. And when you look at yourself that way, I hope you're brought to the same conclusion, O wretched man that I am. You know what this makes me, Lord? Wretched. Amazing grace. That's why that saved a wretch like me. That's what grace does. O wretched man that I am, Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And that's what he brings the children to cry out to him. Lord, who can deliver me? Because we don't see us as deliverable. We think it's too hard. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. And he shows us that over and over again. And that's what Paul says. Oh, I thank God. Look at 25. All of this struggle going on, you think, oh, Paul, you're just in such despair. No, I thank God. I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with a mind, I myself serve the law of God. That's it. He's put that in my mind that I love Him. Do you see the tenor of where we're headed today? If you love me, keep my words. Is that in your mind? Is it in your heart? Not do you do it. I'm not asking you that. I'm not asking you to take inventory and say, I kept the law, I kept the law, I kept the law. Because you're going to lose. It's Christ in you. That's all. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm about to leave, disciples. Let me tell you how you're going to know that I'm with you. I'm with you. I will always be with you. The Holy Spirit will reveal that to you. That's how you and I will know too. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I know there's a warfare. And Paul says, so where does that leave us? What leaves us in 8? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We're not condemned. The law can say whatever it wants. He fulfilled it. We're not lost. We're not castaways. Why is that? Because of our shepherd. Because of his life. Because he laid down his life. He stood in our place. So that you and I have life. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Don't miss that, because there is condemnation to the flesh. And praise God that there is. It will not inherit the kingdom of God. It will be judged and it will be dealt with accordingly. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's what's in our members. That's what's in that old nature. It's the sin and death. And that's what the Satan comes and works on us on. Hey, you see how you acted? You see what? Look what you've done. Look. That's what he said to Joshua. Remember, Joshua was before the Lord and had the Satan on one side. And Satan's like, oh, those garments, you're filthy. You're a filthy sinner. Well, what's our answer to that? Yes, Lord, wash me. Wash me, Lord. And I will be clean. Purge me with hyssop. And I will be clean before thy eyes, Lord. My holiness and my righteousness is in Christ. He's my justification. You want to accuse me, devil? Look to him. He did it for me. Accuse him. He died in my place. That's the weaponry we have. When it says resist the devil and he will flee from you, we don't resist him in what we've done. We can't. We resist him in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He's our life. Let's go back to our text now so we finish up. We're constrained by the love of Christ. I wanted to read that in 2 Corinthians 5, 14, 15. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge if one died for all, then we're all dead. Understand that. If Jesus died, He's died in our place, then we were dead in Him. And now we're raised in Him. That's a beautiful... When the Lord went down into that tomb, He took His children with Him. And when He came up out of it, He took us with Him. And when He ascended into heaven, He took us with Him. That's why we have life. But we must die too. Die to self. Paul said that, I die often. I'm in death oft. I had the sentence of death in myself. Yeah. We do. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We live unto Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my word, keep my sayings. We're about to go there. So then Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, 22. And he asked the question we all asked, didn't he? Lord, how is it you will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How do we know we're different? How do we know, Lord? How are we going to know that what you're showing us and what you show, you know, the world's not showing anything. The world just goes on it. But how are you differentiating it? How are we going to know? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he goes back to assurance again. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Oh, so your word is what's different in us than it is in the world. That's right. That's what the Holy Spirit teaches his children. The words of Christ. He brings them all to our remembrance. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Union. Again. Never leaves out the Father. Never leaves out the Holy Ghost. That union we have is in this triune Lord. We have the Holy Spirit leading us, sealing us into the day of redemption. We have Christ, who is our life, who is our Savior, who is our Shepherd. We have the Father, who has elected us before the foundation of the world, who has sent His Son to die, and has sent the Spirit to reveal to us all that they have done. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying. Remember what he said. How are we going to know the difference? It's Christ in me. That's the difference. That's how we know. And I hope if you don't see the Lord in those people that you are brought into contact with, I hope you don't go after communion with them. I hope you don't. What we have is a union that the Lord has with the sheep in the sheepfold, and they love each other, and they'll love Christ in you, and you'll love Christ in them. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father. I'm sorry, that and should be a four. It makes it understand a little bit, but that's the translation. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. For the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent. He's showing us the preeminence and what he came. What I'm teaching you today, dear ones, that's what he's saying as he's got 11 around him. I got from the Father. I want you to understand. You should know by now, I and the Father are one. These words come from heaven. They come from the Almighty God. Because it was a stumbling block for them. Jesus was made in the flesh. You know, he came and dwelt among them. It's hard. I mean, faith has to take you to see that's God. And that's why they struggled. Well, that Jesus, he was born of this man over there. He wasn't. He can't be God. Well, of course he was. In this great plan of salvation. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. There's the Trinity again. He shall teach you all things. Well, what if I forget? No. Don't worry about that. When you walk out of here, we're all going to forget a lot of things. We'll get out in this polluted world, we're going to forget everything. But have no fear. It's the Holy Spirit that brings to remembrance the things that Christ has said. See? The Father will send to my heap, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And then our last verse this morning, I leave you with the same words. This is the whole purpose of what Jesus just said to them. Peace I leave with you. If you love me, keep my commandments. That can't be grievous. It can't bring Sinai to you. It's got to bring peace. Because that's how the Lord shows us that we're His. We desire Him. We see Him as our salvation. We see Him as our ability. We see Him as our life. If He's our life will be lived in Him. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Notice that you're not going to get the peace from the world. Let not your heart be troubled. I think that's how we started this text. Neither let it be afraid. And those are the words I'd leave you with today. That the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And may the Holy Spirit reveal to us all how the Lord does this in us and how we walk in Him.
Okay.